Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
You are my God. Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding names. So the overview of the broadcast, we will mention that my ministry and my life with the Creator is the culmination of applying engineering principles to every facet of my life and my learning about the Creator. We will mention the document, Seven Components in Growing Close to Yah, and stress its importance as a foundational document. We will then speak about the article, Critical Actions on First Belief, and stress its importance. Thereafter, we will look at the essence of my message with regard to names. We will start by looking at Yah, the eternally self-existing, mistakenly translated the Lord. We'll then note that the Lord is the correct translation of Baal, a satanic pagan deity. We will then discuss the Almighty as the correct translation of the word translated God, and we will note that the Almighty is a more accurate translation of Allah as used by Muslims. We will then talk about Yahushua as the correct form of Jesus. And we will then look at Christ as referring to anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Finally, we will look at other words like Hallelujah, Kodesh instead of Holy, and Abba, meaning Daddy. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, SlideShare, YouTube, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with Yah. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show and podcast for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. So that's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. The Relationship with Creator Radio is one word, and also End Time Issue Ministries is one word. So just to build on a point that I've just made, this ministry is the culmination of applying engineering principles to the matters of the Almighty Creator since 1993. I've been designing and making things that work since about the age of five. I have a Bachelor's of Science Honours degree in engineering and a PhD in engineering, and was registered professional engineer for many years. I hold that engineering is very robust and demanding. Things, whether machines, buildings, bridges, computer software, etc., only work if they are exactly designed, exactly built, and exactly operated. Engineering, as an occupation and a way of doing things, focuses on designing and building things that work reliably and sustainably for the design life. I've applied these disciplines in my relationship with the Almighty Creator and in my ministry that has generated all these articles. See the page Engineering Approach on the website. It's so important to understand this, folks. It's so much woolly thinking about the Creator, and people just dream up things that don't make sense. What you believe needs to make sense. It needs to work. You need to be able to test it and see that it's valid. And I believe in all the things that I share that that is the case. And I want to talk briefly, also building on what I said earlier, about seven components in growing close to Yah. If one is to have a meaningful relationship with the Almighty Creator, it is necessary to take a quality decision and drastic measures to change one's life in order to come to a spiritual position where one can build a deep personal relationship with Him. This article describes seven steps that should be taken to achieve this level of relationship. This article was presented on this channel in detail about a year ago. It's also available on the website. Look at on the main menu, seven components of drawing close. If you dig down into the radio pages, you'll find the detailed transcripts of the broadcasts about a year ago. This is an extremely important article, and I encourage you to read it and apply it in detail. It's about 72 A4 pages, so it's quite substantial. It was written around the time of the Day of Atonement in 2014, when I was very close to Father. I was very anointed. It's a really, really important message. It sets out in detail the things that are necessary to clean up your life and come to a place where you have a deep personal relationship with Father. I'm not going to go into it at this time in detail, just to refer you to the article on the website and to the recordings. The audio recordings are also available with the podcasts, so you can log in there and you can listen to the broadcasts of this. As I said, it was about a year ago. The thing to realize, folks, is that the world is such a mess. The rewards are so huge. You're going to have to put in a bit of hard work spiritually to qualify for a high throne in heaven. But I'm absolutely convinced that it's worth it. Another article that I'd like to refer you to, it's at the bottom of the menu on the website. It's called Critical Actions on First Belief. The article discusses critical actions that should be taken by any person who first comes to belief. This will lay a foundation for a powerful life in relationship with the Almighty Creator. Refer also to the Seven Components document that I've just spoken about. These same procedures can be applied at any time. However, they are particularly effective when applied immediately after a person comes to belief. So it's on the website, Critical Actions on First Belief. I recommend that you read this article and apply it no matter where you are in your relationship with Father. There's some very specific anointings there. There's some very specific cleansing actions. There's some very specific immersion actions. Folks, we live in a highly contaminated, demonically infested spiritual realm where there's a huge amount of unclean spiritual stuff around us and on us. Particularly when you first come to belief, you're crawling with demons. I'm not being ugly, I'm just telling you the truth. There are over 100 billion demons on the planet, and when you first come to belief, you will have bring with you, and you will get very quickly a whole lot more while you're in error and not clear on what's going on. Really, really messy. This article tells you how to clean up, and the other article that I've just referred to, the Seven Components, goes into cleaning up in a lot more detail. Strongly recommend it. So now we're going to get on to the main message for today, the essence of my message regarding names. At the time of writing this article, I had recently received several emails regarding the true name of the Almighty Creator. So what follows is a discussion of the key points on this topic. In particular, I would like to offer a number of corrections with regard to names that are commonly used in English. These corrections are made within the context of the reality that belief in the Creator and belief through Yeshua, Jesus, are represented to a degree in Christianity, and Christianity is therefore fundamentally a Hebrew religion. The wrong names that are almost universal in Christianity have, for the most part, been adopted in the English used by Jews, Muslims, and other religions to refer to the Almighty Creator. In particular, it is not possible to fully understand the so-called New Testament in the Bible without first understanding the culture and the history that is presented in the so-called Old Testament. Fundamentally, Yeshua, Jesus, was an Old Testament prophet. The New Covenant only came into existence when he died. There's a lot of wrong thinking about this, folks. The New Covenant books in the Bible start with the conception of Yeshua, Jesus. So people think that the New Covenant began then. No, it didn't. It began only when he died and his blood fell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the cave under the place where he was executed. And it's so important to draw this distinction. So everything that Yeshua did He did under the old covenant, the healings, the people raised from the dead, the miracles, etc. So in this context, it's important to understand that modern day Jews are also descended from these roots. And the reason that so many people hate Jews is because at some level they have been more faithful with the matters of the Creator than most and are therefore a threat to the satanic and demonic realm, which therefore triggers irrational and ill-informed hatred of Jews. It is also important to realize that at the time that the Bible was first translated into English, there was a large amount of tradition and also intense persecution, which resulted in the translators making compromises which have persisted to this day in the vast majority of Bible translations. For the same reason, these compromises have been adopted in the other religions cited above. Following points should be considered with this in mind. So let's just step back and just look at this a little bit more, folks. I fairly regularly get emails that are really vicious in terms of their attacks on the Jews. And pretty much all the attacks are just completely irrational. They don't make any sense. They're not actually conceivably possible, what's being claimed, if you understand what's really going on in the spiritual. So there's this thing that people in error have their demons just running riot to attack the Jews. And then you've got some other stuff with the Muslims attacking the Christians and the Jews. You know, and there's some Muslims who say that they're told by the Almighty to kill the Christians and the Jews, and that's just not true either. And then you've got Christians who hate everybody as well. And Yeshua said, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you. And folks, that's the gold standard. That's what we should be aiming for. So the first name that I want to talk about is Yah, the eternally self-existing, which is commonly translated as the Lord, with Lord in capital letters. The phrase Yah, the eternally self-existing, occurs in the so-called Old Testament nearly 7,000 times, represented as the Lord. This phrase in Hebrew is Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, or Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, depending on preference. It is the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, and his true fundamental name is Yah. If you do not know this name and use it, you will never draw particularly close to him. How do you form a relationship with someone when you do not know their name? See Yah 7,000 times in the Bible, why not used? And also Creator's name, Yah, the eternally self-existing, /names including Yah, which presents an in-depth analysis of the original Hebrew of the Old Testament. For a further detailed discussion of the name Yah and how it permeates every facet of Old Testament life and the names of people, please visit on the website, the Bible, /more about the Bible for name Yah in the book. Folks, Father takes his name very seriously, and he gets really upset when people don't use his correct name. And the vast majority of people don't know his name, and on the face of it, don't really care, and I've got all sorts of crazy ideas as to why they should not use that name. It's so important to understand how the name Yah was central to the lives of early believers. Thus we have Yahushua, translated today Jesus or Joshua, meaning Yah is salvation. We have Matityahu, Matthew, meaning gift of Yah. We have Yahuchanan, John, meaning Yah has grace, John or Jonathan, etc., etc. There are literally dozens, I forget the count, but there's somewhere between 70 and 100 words in the Bible that contain Yah. So in those days, people thought about Yah the whole time. It's not possible to really understand the history of believers presented in the Bible without understanding this principle. In particular, it is not possible to understand Yahushua, Jesus, without first understanding his name, which clearly states that Yah is salvation, not Yahushua. The reason Yah instructed that the baby in Bethlehem should be named Yahushua, because that was his mission, to provide a way for salvation. In those days, people named their children with these names that contained the name of Yah. We've lost that today, and that's been lost in translation. The vast majority of English Bibles have, for example, John instead of Yehuchanan, Jesus or Joshua instead of Yahushua, Matthew instead of Matiyahu. And so the deep richness of Father's name in that society is totally lost. And let's talk about Baal, which is the correct translation of Baal is the Lord, and which has satanic and demonic meaning. It is impossible to understand that the Hebrew word that, it is important to understand that the Hebrew word that should accurately be translated the Lord is Baal, the name of a demonic pagan, that is satanic deity. Yet the Bible translators accurately preserved the name Baal in the English, yet totally concealed the name Yah from the translations. So not only do most people not use the correct name for the Almighty, they use a name that is hurtful and insulting. When I first became aware of Yahweh in 2000, I asked Father if it was important, and his words to me were, "James, how would you like it if your wife and family called you by the name of your worst enemy?" I got the message and changed my vocabulary immediately. I hope that you will do the same. Further, there are limitations on what you can accomplish speaking to Yah or about Yah using the Lord, which is an abomination in his ears and his sight. Because of the above-mentioned persecution of the early translators of the Bible, Yah extended grace for many years. However, in May 2003, when it was time to sentence Satan for his sins and send him to the pit for 1,000 years, it was first necessary to withdraw all grace for the lies and errors which the demonic and satanic realm had inculcated into the vocabulary of believers. See Satan to the Pit, 2003, and the article Withdrawal of Grace Prior to 3 May 2003, why the traditional names and beliefs are no longer valid. If you search for that in the article search or in the Google search, you should find it. Accordingly, if you continue to use the Lord today, you will be cursed and open the door for satanic and demonic attack. Note also that in the so-called New Testament, Yahushua is frequently referred to as Lord. The Hebrew word in this case is Adonai, which is a human lord or ruler. So it is appropriate to refer to Yeshua as Adonai. However, Adonai has been rendered Lord with the result that believers confuse the Lord in the Old Testament with the Lord, lowercase, in the New Testament. And this is one of the factors that give rise to people believing that Yeshua is the Lord, capital letters. In other words, the Creator, which is serious error. So just to elaborate on that point, the Old Testament, in somewhere like 7,000 places, Yahweh or Yahuweh or Yah the Eternally Self-Existing has been translated as the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. In the New Testament, Yeshua is referred to repeatedly as the Lord, lowercase. The net effect is that people think that the Lord in the Old Testament is the Lord in the New Testament, and therefore Yeshua is the Almighty. It's incorrect, folks. There's a state shift between the translations in the Old Testament from Hebrew and the translations in the New Testament from Greek, and it causes major problems. We'll talk about some other problems in a minute. The next word I want to talk about is the Almighty or God. Another incorrect word in common usage is God. There are numerous references to God throughout the Old Testament, which are a translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, that's E-L-O-H-Y-M, which means mighty one, capital letters if it's referring to the Almighty, mighty one, lowercase if it's referring to some other mighty one, or almighty depending on the context. A judge or ruler can be a mighty one. Yeshua is a mighty one. But they are not the mighty one. In other words, they are not the Almighty. So wherever references may being made to Yah, the correct rendering is not God, it is the Almighty. The word God is actually the name of a pagan, that is satanic, demonic power, and as with the Lord, it is actually an insult to Yah to call him God. As with the Lord, he has extended grace, but that grace was withdrawn in May 2003.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We've been brought up with these words. We find them in just about every Bible. We find them in just about every church. The Jews call him God. And then they go so far as to say G_D. The Muslims call him God. Everybody calls him God because that's what the Christians say is the correct term. And it's not, folks. It's really hurtful to him. It's inaccurate. It leads to all sorts of misunderstandings. Because as I said, Yeshua is a God, lowercase g. Yah, the Almighty, is God, uppercase g. Meaningless word. Please don't use it. In a bit of an aside, the correct English translation of the word Allah used by Muslims is the Almighty. In some respects, Islam is more accurate relative to the name of the Almighty insofar as Allah is a derivative of Elohim translated into Arabic. The correct English translation of the Muslim word Allah in Arabic is the Almighty, just as the correct translation of Elohim in Hebrew is also the Almighty and not God. But basically, by calling him Allah, the Muslims are a lot closer than the Christians and the Jews are calling him God. And it's important to recognize that because the Muslims have some key truths around their relationship with the Almighty and around what they're like. All the religions, they have a whole bunch of errors and lies, but so do the Christians, so do the Jews. Really important to understand that. And to those of you who may be listening from the Muslim faith, it's important to understand that Father does require that women are treated with due respect. There's no reason to lock them up at home, do some of the things that some Muslims do. They should be allowed to fully achieve their potential. And it's interesting to note that there are 7 times more women in heaven than there are men. So if you have a narrow view of women and tend to suppress them, I would suggest that you change your thinking on that one. There's a web page, Women 7 Times Men in the Kingdom. Then the next name, very important, Yahushua, which is commonly translated incorrectly as Jesus. As stated above, the true name of the spokesman, the prophet, and emissary apostle of Nazareth. Nazareth is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. This is vital to understanding this man and his role and his mission. It is also important in understanding why his name is the name above all names, Philippians 2:9. Therefore, the Almighty also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. There is nothing higher for humans than the salvation of Yah. That's why his name is the name above all names. It's not Jesus, it's Yahushua. Note that this name is not exclusive to Yahushua of Nazareth. It was a common name in Old Testament times, generally incorrectly translated as Joshua in English Bibles. As I said at the beginning of this broadcast, how can you have a meaningful relationship with somebody when you don't know their name? This applies to Yah, and it applies to Yahushua. How can you effectively pray in the name of Yahushua if you call him Jesus? Yes, there's been grace. Yes, there have been miracles in the name of Jesus. But more and more of those are counterfeit. More and more, Father is saying, if you can't be bothered to learn the true name, I can't help you anymore. And so you need to really think about that. If you're serious about serving the Almighty, you need to call him by his true name, Yah, the eternally self-existing, and you need to call Yahushua by his true name, Yahushua, and not Jesus. Jesus is derived from the Greek Aesis, which in turn is derived from Zeus, another pagan, that is satanic and demonic power, which in fact means blessed of Zeus. So again, it is an insult to refer to Yahushua as Jesus, and again, grace has been withdrawn. The situation with all these demonic names is that if you persist in using them, particularly when you've been apprised of your error, the satanic and demonic realm have authority to take control of you and your life and totally destroy your relationship with the Almighty Creator, and the Creator will progressively reject you. Folks, there's a lot of wrong thinking in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're Hebrew or Jewish or Christian or Muslim or whatever. People think that they can just believe what they want, and that's okay. It doesn't really matter. There's no consequences. And then they wonder why they get sick. They wonder why they have accidents. They wonder why people steal from them. There's a fundamental principle. Yah's messengers, his angels, are encamped around those who believe him and fear him to protect them, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them, an unrighteous judgment will be refuted. If you are without sin, forces of darkness cannot touch you. But if you are using wrong names like God and the Lord and Jesus, they can take you apart, and they probably have, or if they haven't yet, they will soon, if you don't repent. And so believers carry on having accidents and what have you, thinking there's nothing they can do about it. They're maybe not praying hard enough, when in fact it's just they've got sin and the forces of darkness are laughing at them. It's sad. The next word I want to talk about is Christ, which means anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Another meaningless Bible name is Christ. This is a rendering of Christos, Christoon, etc. in Greek. This in turn is a rendering of Meshach in Hebrew, which means to smear or anoint with oil, or to anoint with or smear with the set apart, that means holy, Spirit of Yah. In other words, to be filled with the Spirit. So at the time that Yahushua was anointed by Yehuchanan, John, after he was immersed in the Jordan River, and the Spirit of the Almighty descended on him, he was filled with the Spirit of Yah. See Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Yahushua, Jesus, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened on him to him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So, folks, these so important as a believer to be anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty, to be filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. And that's available to everyone who believes. Father, I ask you in the name of Yeshua to fill me with your Spirit. It's all it takes. And then worship him. Give thanks for him. If you look at the page on recommended worship on the website, there are a whole collection of songs there. And there's another page on important worship songs with a number of other worship songs that you can use. And get filled with the Spirit. And that's all that Christ means, is somebody who's filled with the Spirit of Yah. So Yeshua became Jesus Christ, Yeshua Christos, or Yeshua Mashiach, or basically Yeshua anointed with the Spirit of Yah when he was immersed by Yehuchanan. It was this infilling or anointing with the set apart Holy Spirit of Yah that gave Yeshua the power to prophesy, to heal people, to raise the dead, etc. So all of these miracles were performed by Yah, acting through and on Yeshua, and they were not performed by Yeshua. Taking this further, the word Christ is used in the context of Jesus Christ, which correctly translated is Yahushua, anointed with the Spirit of Yah, or Christ Jesus, which is correct. He translates as the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yahushua, or simply Christ, which correctly translated is the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, as in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, which strengtheneth me, and Christ, as in the Anointed One, referring to Yahushua of Nazareth or any other prominent Anointed One. So, because Christ actually is referring to the Spirit of Yah, it's taken in context as being as an alternative name for Jesus, and then it's inferred that Jesus is God because Jesus performed miracles by the Spirit of Yah on him, because people don't understand the meaning of Christ. So if you look at the different words that we've just talked through, I'm hoping that you will see where the wrong idea comes from, that Jesus is God, that Yeshua is Yah in the flesh. It's simply not true. Yeshua is and was a human being, 100% human being, filled with the Spirit of Yah, the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, the Christ, the Christos, the Christoon, the Mashiach. Some other words which it's useful to understand. Hallelujah is virtually the only place in the average English Bible translation where the word Yah is more or less left alone and not corrupted. Hallelujah means praise Yah, or praised be Yah. So when you sing Hallelujah, you're saying praise Yah. It's pretty much the most powerful thing that you can sing, particularly if you understand what you're singing. Quite a lot of people sing hallelujah or say hallelujah, and they really have no comprehension of what they're really saying. Then Yehuda, Judah, which means Yah is praised. Just one more example of a Hebrew word with containing Yah. Then Kadesh, usually translated holy, which means set apart or separate. So the Kodesh Spirit is the set apart spirit. It is the portion of the Almighty Spirit which is set apart for believers. It is only given to believers. It's not given to unbelievers. So when you say holy, 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 you're actually saying set apart, set apart, set apart, separate, separate, separate. Father is separated from the contamination of the world. But he dwells in men and women, and he's exposed to the corruption of the world through those men and women, and he wants you to be free of sin and clean. And then Father, commonly used, Abba, which is the Hebrew word Abba, which actually is daddy. So Father is entirely permissible, but Abba and daddy are much more intimate. Some other incorrect words and names: stake, not cross. Yeshua, Jesus, died on a stake, a length of tree trunk, not on a cross. A cross is a pagan, that is a demonic, satanic symbol. See, not cross and miracle of Yeshua's Jesus' death on the website. There are many other words that are incorrectly rendered in English. See true names and other pages on the website for more information. Most of them have less dramatic consequences in terms of the impact of the error, but they should be corrected nevertheless, as is done where relevant in my articles. So, folks, a key thing to understand about the average English Bible is that it contains a very significant, very critical collection of wrong translations. They're there for various reasons, because of tradition, because the translators were being persecuted when they first translated, because people didn't want to stick their necks out and go too far away from conventional language. You can visualize whatever you want to in terms of why people who were going to a great degree of effort and trouble should not accurately translate every word. But they didn't. It's the way it is. And it means that basically an English Bible has very little value in it, because it's leading you down the wrong road. There are a few translations which are more accurate, not a lot of them. And even there, they've got wrong thinking in terms of the anointing and Christ, etc. So in conclusion, I hope that this has helped you and that you will now correct your language and use the correct terms when speaking and writing of the matters of the Almighty Creator. You are the eternally self-existing alone. Part of doing this is that you no longer call yourself a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or whatever, but rather refer to yourself as a believer in the Most High Creator. You are the eternally self-existing, and leave it at that. Folks, I've been walking with these understandings of the names since late 2000, early 2001. Fundamentally important if you're going to get close to Father. As I said at the beginning, how can you get close to somebody when you don't know their name? How can you get close to somebody when you call them a name that's an insult? Father has been gracious. He's extended grace. He's been merciful. But that's run out now. Satan's in the pit. There's no more grace for these things. You will get judged if you keep using the wrong names. If you haven't been judged yet, that's mercy. Maybe you were being given a break until you could hear me talk on this or read what I have to say on it. But seriously, folks, please stop using the wrong words. Clean up your language. Clean up your attitude to Father. He wants a deep personal relationship with you. He doesn't want you messing around with him with wrong names and wrong doctrines, etc. He wants you to get all truth. Yeshua said that the set-apart spirit would lead us into all truth. So you should be praying for that. I really hope you've taken this seriously and that you will correct your language. Thanks so much. So just a closing thought from a previous talk. My fundamental message is seek a deep personal relationship with Yah. So if you're living a good life, seeking to be a good person, I have to tell you that that is not sufficient. In fact, on its own, it's worthless. What really matters is that you have a deep personal relationship with the Creator. Then it will help for you to be a good person. I encourage you now to step out and start to earnestly seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator. See the webpage Creator Desires Relationship and also the seven components of drawing close that I spoke about earlier, and put it into practice. If you need any guidance, please do not hesitate to contact me. You can email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. I'd be delighted to help you. I have a number of people that I correspond with regularly on by email, meet with on Zoom, help them with their journey, and I'm here to help you. Father wants you to become his friend. I would love you to become his friend. And I'm here to help you on the journey of becoming his friend. It's not a trivial journey. It requires some significant self-sacrifice and some effort. But it's there for you. I'm here for you if you decide that that's what you want to do. So I look forward to hearing from you. I want to end off by challenging you and asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator right now. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If you can't answer yes to all of those points, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough, folks. Millions of years ago, Father was lonely. He decided to create beings that had intellect, beings that had the ability to make choices, to make decisions, beings that could be friends to him. And so he set about creating the universe and then the solar system and then planet Earth and then crafting the surface of the planet. Not in the messed up way it is now, but in the very pristine way that it was originally crafted. And then creating a whole diversity of plants and a whole diversity of animals. And then finally creating human beings. And he did all of that with absolutely one purpose: to have friends. And today we are so corrupt that almost nobody knows that we were created to be friends. Almost nobody tries to become his friend. And almost nobody tells other people that he wants to become their friend. I challenge you to choose today to seek that path. Some key documents and a video on the main menu webpage, compendium of important articles, video on the second line of the menu, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. And recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly flexible and powerful. You've got a lot of Google functionality to search the website. There's over 1,000 pages on the website, so there's a lot of depth there, and you may well find answers to the questions you're asking. In closing, thank you for listening. please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Currently, I'm not receiving questions. I'm not sure if there's a technical problem. So if you've submitted questions and I've not replied, please send them to the email below. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list or to ask questions or give me feedback. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I can't stress enough. Becoming a friend of the Almighty is an option that is available to every human being on the planet. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your level of education. It doesn't matter your level of wealth or lack of wealth. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. Any human being has the potential to become a friend of the Almighty. If you make up your mind today and start actively seeking. Thank you so much. Good night. Father.